OWC Radio 2.0, Episode 14. Daniel East joins me for the entire episode to talk about the Apple event, new iPhones, the Apple Watch, and more. Check it out. And it is OWC Radio 2.0, Episode 14. And, of course, yesterday was the big Apple event, the big iPhone event, as I record this episode. And I wanted a special guest on to discuss that. And thankfully, Daniel East was available. He's usually a very hard man to nail down. He's so just busy all the time. That's right, isn't it, Daniel? You're just all over the place.
I tend to have a bit of a crazy life.
You do. I you know, we're friends on Facebook, and I see that you're all over the place. I mean, you're just constantly on the go. You've got a very kind of full professional life.
Yeah, I try to stay busy, and it's mostly because I really enjoy what I do. The different things.
that makes a huge difference in your life, not just your professional life, but your personal life. If you could do something you love professionally, that just enriches your personal life, I think.
Yeah, I agree with you. That's the mission.
So this is the 14th episode of OWC Radio 2.0, but you are actually an Otherworld Computing radio veteran. You were on the 29th episode back in May 2010, the first go-round, and we did a whole interview with you. It was you and I, and I would suggest or ask the listeners to go back and listen to that interview. And you can find it. Just do a Google search for Daniel East, OWC Radio, and you will find it. It's actually the top link. And listen to that. That will give you a whole lot of background on Daniel. But I wanted to quickly go over kind of your background, what got you to where you are now, and what's different between, 4 years ago and now.
It's hard to believe it's that long.
I know, it's been 4 years.
It is, and a lot has changed. I mean, all the way around. Obviously, I'm still involved in performing music and doing sessions and live shows and so forth. Still very involved in audio engineering and working with some fairly involved productions, which is very exciting for me. I love live, whether it's performing or if it's...
Is it the crowd or is it just a different vibe when you're doing it?
I think part of it is that it's being in the moment.
Yeah.
And there's an energy to that that's very different. I've always preferred live everything, even back when I was working at the record labels and all that. There's an excitement. There's that one shot that you get, and it, whatever happens, there's more often than not just that magic where you feel like you're witnessing something. We had a joke about it in one of the gigs that I had a couple of years ago that when we would intend on recording a show, something would happen and we wouldn't get the recording or the settings would be wrong or something. The best shows were the ones that didn't make it to the recording process, and we tried to record as much as we could, and so that's what would happen. But the live moment people would talk about, and it actually, of course with social media now, it makes it really cool to get that kind of a response.
I mean, you know, when it's right or wrong,
but it's you get one shot.
Yeah.
And you're in the moment, and it has to be right. And that's where you see the difference in the energy, to me. And that's the excitement. There's whether times are good, times are tough, live is live. People will always go to see live music, no matter what's going on in the economy or whatever. Live music is just the most fun, and you see, that skill level when you're out there with the best people, whether it's in the production side or the performing side. It's I think it's just incredible. So that's all going on. Still working with Kelby One and Photoshop User Magazine and writing as much as possible, which I
Scott Kelby has become an institution, hasn't he?
Oh, he really is. He's one of the most wonderful people I know.
And I've got him scheduled upcoming on OWC Radio, by the way.
and I'll tell you, not everybody knows what a phenomenal music guy he is, a musician. Talented,
I had no idea.
Talented. Yeah, wonderful, wonderful. He is responsible for my writing career going from basically what before there were blogs, but I mean writing for newsletters and things like that, and taking it to the next level where I was actually involved with magazines. That's a story for another day, but yeah, there was a period of about a week where I called all of my friends that were accomplished writers. I'm sure you know some of them, and
I do.
And everybody said the same thing. You have to You have to make the jump up. You're ready. It's time. And this was many years ago. So I have a great love for the guy, and it's a pleasure to be able to write for them, particularly, you know, all the OWC products, too. That's been
You've done a lot of product reviews for OWC over the years.
Yeah, I love the products, and not just because we're doing OWC Radio. I cannot say enough positive things, and it's one of the few brands that I really look forward to getting because there's no disappointment.
Yeah.
And it's always so well thought out, so I'm very much a fan.
I've had people ask me, why did you go to OWC? Why are you doing this podcast? And I say, look, you know my background. This was a company, and it was products that I really believed in, and it was kind of a no-brainer to me. I mean, I want to be part of something that's really cool, that a company that really does care about their products and their customers, and they go above and beyond. It's so rare nowadays, and I'm happy to be involved with OWC. I really am. I do have to ask you, writing, music, when do you get into acting?
You know, it's crazy. I did a little bit of acting, and I was terrible at it, and that ended very quickly.
Of course, Princess Leia choked his character at the end of, or at the beginning of Return of the Jedi. That was Jabba the Hutt, of course.
But no. Thanks, though. I did a couple of commercial type things and infomercials many, many years ago, and I was very uncomfortable. And being as that I have some friends who are much better at this than I would ask them, you know, how do I do this? How do I do that? And even as I had studied a little bit, I know to stay away from things that I do very poorly.
You know, I think you can learn to be a writer. You can't learn to be a great writer. You can learn to play music, but you cannot learn to be a great musician. I don't know if you can really learn to act. You can either act or you can't.
I think there's truth to that. I think that people learn to be better actors. I think if you're born into a dramatic family or you have that vibe, you know, there are people that you just feel it, you know.
Sure.
And they talk, and people, particularly those that are great storytellers and things like that. I think people, and there have been those who have been taught to act better, you know, athletes that do commercials and things like that. Some of them have done very well, musicians as well. Certainly there are plenty of musicians. As an example, I think Harry Connick Jr. is a very, you know, an entertaining actor. I really do. I think he's awesome. A brilliant musician.
Yeah.
You know, so there are things where you come from, you know, that sort of ability to tell a great story that will translate more easily into acting.
So I have to ask, before we get into the Apple event, because that's obviously the big topic today, and there was so much that happened yesterday, and of course you were on Twitter, I was live tweeting the event. There's just so much to talk about. Before we get there, what is the ECI Group?
The ECI Group is a company that I started after I left another company I was involved with. When I stopped touring full-time, I was introduced to the idea that I could consult for companies. And at that time, I started my first company, which was Size 13 Music. And we did everything from performance coaching to media coaching to design work to creating marketing materials and album art and all that. That stopped when one of the companies that I was involved with said that they wanted me full-time. And it was a wonderful experience and certainly great people. And I did that for almost 7 years. And
that's a long run.
When that ended, oh, yeah, it was great. And it was wonderful. It was all top-level entertainment. It was the best in the world. It was really an exciting time to be involved in something with the level of innovation that they had, all professional audio. So when that run ended, quite a few people that said, you absolutely have to keep doing this. How do we get this back? How do we start this again? So I went back to doing more musically and performing more in the interim, and people started to call. When is this going to happen? When are you going to do this? So we need this, we need that. And I would pick up one or two things. At any rate,
it's nice to be in demand.
It was very nice, especially at a time where, you know, I was really looking to do something more. And we came up with this idea of creative intelligence, that in professional audio, whether it was musicians or venues trying to promote shows or any part of the music industry, how to come up with a way to convey a message that didn't look like you were having a rave unless that was the intent. Sure. Coming up with appropriate content that had a particular common thread. And for me, it was something that I learned from Grover Washington Jr., who was one of my mentors and wonderful to me when I was involved with working with him years ago.
Where do I know his name from?
He was one of the great legendary jazz musicians.
Okay, yes, of course.
Brilliant, passed away, unfortunately.
I was sitting here thinking, wait, I know that name.
had any number of great hits, wonderful guy. And the vibe that he created is something I've carried with me since I was a kid involved with them, which was, it has to be incredibly cool and elegant at the same time. So I
not easy to pull
this,
off
this moniker of elegant cool. Elegant cool became the foundation for the ECI group, and it's basically about creating the materials for musicians and vendors and venues or any business now that we've now expanded this to create the materials needed, the creative side of putting together the appropriate looking, feeling, message type thing, whether it's advertising, whether it's handouts, I don't care what it is. All the materials can be created very easily, even the social media presence, so that you decide who, you know, you create an identity. It's not a marketing company. It's not a PR company. It's a creative company. And that's really the mission for ECI. It's really what we've done from the beginning.
You're more about branding.
Yeah, more about branding. And it's an interesting balance, because when I talk to certain people, whether it's a company or musician, whatever, and they tell me about what they have in mind or something that they've seen that they like, whether it's a company or whatever, and then I look at what they're actually producing, whether it's product or music or audience or whatever, and sometimes they're the same and sometimes they're not. Sometimes yeah. You see materials that will attract a specific demographic that aren't necessarily appropriate to what they're going for. And it's, I don't know if it's the wrong template or if it's that they are not producing themselves correctly or they have a different idea. And that's one of the things that I think is really important in this industry to make sure that everything is cohesive.
Yeah, if you're going for a Barry Manilow vibe and you've got skeletons and flaming skulls on stage as you're playing, it's probably... Yeah, it probably doesn't work.
Yeah, here's a good example. There is a brilliant married couple, Marcus Baylor and his wife Jean Baylor, who have a list of credits between them that is spectacular in a variety of types of music, and they've created a jazz project that's sort of exactly as they are together. They're fantastic people, or some of them the kindest, most wonderful, loving people in the world. And what they produce together musically is incredible. So they're performing in New York this week. They'll be in DC coming up. They travel constantly. Marcus just came back from Europe. He had performed. He's a drummer, played with the Yellow Jackets, and I mean the list is just
wow,
legendary. Gene the same. And they are the most wonderful people. And they said, how do we create this vibe? How do we create this information? Because you only get, you know, on a Facebook page, you get, you know, your banner, your cover art. On Instagram, how do you use social media to, you know, to convey these things? And so we've worked with them and built a very consistent feel that feels like them, that is very simple. It's very concise.
And it can translate between social media, their website, and the live performing acts?
Yes, and even on Instagram, because you only have whatever size screen. You like the little segue I created here?
Yeah.
If you're looking on your phone or on your iPad or whatever device you're looking at, that image still has to convey the message, where you'll be, when you'll be, or what the project is, or advertising the album art. I did their last album art, their cover art as well. You have to look at all of the elements that come into play here. And that's what we try to do. That's really the whole foundation of what the ECI group is.
Well, Daniel, it sounds like you've got your hands full. Let's talk a little bit about, no, let's talk a lot about yesterday. Now, I live tweeted the event for OWC on Twitter. The entire 2-hour keynote, I was posting pictures and replying to people and asking questions. I saw you on Twitter as well. You were following Twitter as you were watching the event. My first question is, how was the stream for you? Did it cut out for you? Did you get a consistent view the whole time? Because for me, watching the live Apple event, the first 20 minutes, it was pretty choppy or not working at all.
Well, let me start by saying I don't speak Mandarin.
Yeah. At the beginning of the show, yes, there was... Was it the whole thing?
Maybe it was, I don't know.
I think it was, I know at the beginning, once they kind of corrected the actual video problem, you could hear whoever's talking and then a Chinese translation on top of it, which was different. I called it a mashup on Twitter.
I honestly don't speak Mandarin, but I recognized the dialect because there are some programs here locally. In the schools locally where I am in Florida. And so it was kind of funny. I was thinking, well, okay, it was a little distracting, but it really didn't bother me. And historically, I will view any of the keynotes or any of the events the same way. Either I will go to a campus or someplace where they have the satellite feed, or I will run it one of a couple of ways, or all of them. Yesterday, I was able to pick up a feed, so I didn't have as much of an issue. What I normally do is I will have Apple TV, more recently, of course, and have an iOS device, either my iPad or my iPhone, that will run the mobile feed as well, so there's a little redundancy. And then I will, of course, watch the Loops feed or any of the other live tweeting
Website
coverage. Yep. Coverage that's out there. Yours, of course. You and I were going back and forth quite a bit.
Actually promoting you being on the show during the whole.
Yeah, that was cool. Thank you. That was fun, man. I was watching all this stuff come up, and of course, I screwed up the link when I posted it the first time. But
you posted to the old show, the original OWC Radio. Yeah.
It serves me right.
It is a new show.
It is, and it's really cool. I've been listening. I when you had Bob Levitis on, I thought that was awesome.
Bob's a great guy.
Oh yeah, he's great. And so I was watching the stream. And yeah, it came and went, but I had a consistent feed of information where I was, luckily. So more of the griping that was going on was stuff that I was seeing on Twitter.
Yeah, I was kind of ignoring the griping, to be honest. I wanted to stay positive. I wanted to stay... Yeah, I'll be honest with you. This was the first keynote in a long time that I was just truly excited about. I don't know why. Maybe it was all the leaks ahead of time. We kind of figured we were going to get new iPhones. There was more than a few rumors out there about an iWatch, they were trying to call it at the beginning.
Right.
But I don't think it was any of those things. It was just a vibe in the universe yesterday that just, man, it was everywhere. I was so excited to watch this keynote. And I don't know about you. I can't speak for you, but I was not disappointed yesterday. Were you?
No, not at all. And the funny thing is that I was thinking the same thing. I kept saying keynote. And it actually, this wasn't Macworld.
No.
This wasn't Expo. This was a press event, and it felt to me like a keynote.
Yeah, it did.
It felt like that Apple energy was back. And entire time, I mean, throughout the entire presentation, from everybody, you felt the excitement.
Yeah.
And I missed that from the last two. You know,
You're
not going to have another Steve Jobs,
no.
And I hate to be one of them. And I don't bring that up because the world
it's not
seems
fair.
To bring it up. There will never be another.
No.
But I felt like this had a similar kind of excitement. Not necessarily Tim. Tim Cook is a wonderful guy. Don't get me wrong.
Absolutely. I think he's doing a fantastic job.
But
and I don't just mean financial.
Well, yeah, but of course. But I mean, the energy surrounding the presentations was there. You felt that people were very genuine. You know, it's like we talked about with ECI. It has to be legit. It has to it has to all work together, and you want to make sure that when people are watching that they feel that level of excitement. And I think they succeeded with that.
It's funny, as soon as you started describing it, I latched onto it immediately, because the last time I felt this level of excitement was actually going into a Macworld Expo keynote with Steve Jobs. We've both been in the audience, the big audience, watching Steve Jobs live right in front of us. That was the last time I had this level of excitement. I don't know what it was, this in the air type of excitement, I guess. I'm at a loss for words, but it was incredibly exciting, and I wasn't disappointed at all. The first thing they did was they didn't talk about the stuff they usually do at the beginning.
Yeah, no financials at the
beginning. No showing the new stores opening, none of that. I mean, it was just,
yeah,
hey, cool. we're doing great, is basically what Tim Cook said. And they jumped right into the new iPhones. And I couldn't have been happier. So let's start there. The iPhone 5C is now free, mm-hmm, with a 2-year contract. The iPhone 5S is now a $99 phone. It's the same phone that you could buy today. But that's going to be a $99 phone. It's not changing at all. Still a 4-inch display. And I know a lot of people don't want a larger display. They wanted the 4-inch, and they can still have it. It's called a iPhone 5S. So those are, I think, important and good things to have as far as Apple is concerned. They've got an entry-level free phone. They've got a really good phone for $99. I'm sorry, their $99 phone blows away the competition. Just the 5S. Yes. I've got a 5S, and it's an awesome phone. It's by far my favorite iPhone of all time until next week. And then they introduce two new phones, the iPhone 6, which is a 4.7-inch display, and an iPhone 6 Plus, which is a 5.5-inch display. There was a lot of rumors going around, Daniel. I didn't know what to believe. I figured there's definitely a 4.7 coming. I just couldn't wrap my head around the fact that they were actually going to release a 5.5-inch iPhone, which is exactly what I've been wanting for a few years now. I've been dying for a bigger phone. As I've got older, my eyesight's gotten worse. I wanted a bigger screen. And they delivered both of them yesterday in the keynote.
What I really liked was the fact that they were able to do two things at once. Of course, we know that there are a number of phones that are larger out there, and all the companies that make them, but they don't have this magic. They don't have iOS first and foremost. But what they also did is, by not only coming up with a larger phone, they also came up with a thinner phone.
Yep.
And so
the 5.5 is actually a little thicker than the 4.7, but the 5.5 is still thinner than the 5S.
Yeah, it's really quite amazing. It's really quite amazing. And, you know, I say this a lot, and there's been a lot of discussion this morning about this. I personally believe that specifications don't tell the whole story. And I believe that with audio equipment. I believe that, you know, a lot of these things are subjective. It's real life use. You know, Samsung has its toys and LG has its toys and everybody has these things. I don't think there's the level of interaction of feeling like you have the extension of yourself into a product that you do with an iOS device. I think Apple is brilliant in that respect. Years ago, we used to talk about with the Apple user groups that when people would talk about Windows computers, they would say, that's the computer. When they would talk about Apple, they would say, that's my Mac.
Right. Yeah, that's big difference. That's my Macintosh.
I believe that that's extended itself into all the iOS devices, and I believe that the level of cohesion that exists between the iOS device and the desktop device and all of these things, the way they interact, particularly with the new operating systems coming with iOS 8 and with Yosemite, that it further elevates the quality of the user experience. And I know that sounds like it's like marketing talk, because
it is the truth.
There's nothing more annoying to me than dealing with a product that has all kinds of frustrations to it. The frustrations that people express about iOS devices are nothing compared to what they express about everything else.
Yeah.
You know, same with Macs. I would be nowhere without all of these pieces of equipment that, that are so integral in what I do every day, particularly as a musician and an engineer. I know for a fact that the audio that's produced, the little chip amplifier for the headphones, the microphone, the way that the noise reduction works, the apps that I use for pro audio, either from the manufacturers, for example, Yamaha, a company that, that I love. You can control their mixing consoles, their digital mixing consoles, using an iPad. I have Sennheiser. I have all these apps that work from my iOS device in a pro audio environment, including guitar tuners that I use. You know, Peterson has an app. TC Electronic has an app. You know, that work better on an iPhone or an iPad than they certainly do on anything else. To me, those are critical applications where I know that I have to be able to rely on that. Rode Microphones makes a phenomenal, this IXY mic. Have you checked this thing out?
I've heard about it. I haven't actually looked at one.
Wow. I mean, the audio quality from this thing is stunning. Stunning.
Probably overkill for a podcast.
Well, it depends on what you're doing.
Yeah, if I was doing a live podcast and we were streaming it out every day, yeah, then I could see spending that kind of dough on such a quality mic.
But it's a stereo mic that can also be used for mono. If you were, let's say you were out covering, you know,
an Apple event.
Yeah, well, you can't, I don't think they let you record the audio.
No, but when you,
I mean,
when
it was
you,
great to have you two out there yesterday.
Sure,
that was
but
really
when,
cool, but
when you're in the tent afterwards looking at the product, and it's absolutely very noisy.
The stereo image from this IXY mic is one of the, I think is probably, if not the best, it is certainly one of the best I've ever heard coming from an iOS device. And it's, you know, uses the Thunderbolt connector and the thing is just unreal sounding. The image, the stereo image is fantastic. Even just sitting recording two acoustic guitars or anything like that, it's stunning. You can't do that at this quality with anything else. And that's one of the things that I think Apple has maintained, is that while they continue to come up with new ideas and new ways to make these things better, they are consistent in every way. So each innovation, the products are still backwards compatible to a point. They, of course, want you to upgrade and go with new items. But at the same time, you're dealing with... We're dealing with such an incredible quality product, the build quality, just the tactile appeal alone. You talk about with the iPhone 6, I haven't even had the thing in my hand yet, and I can already tell you that I know it's going to feel like $1 million.
Yeah, it's exactly the, I was the same way with the 5S. I had a 4S. I never went to the 5. I went from the 4S to the 5S. Mm-hmm. And before I even touched one, I knew what it was going to feel like. And it was better. It exceeded my expectations. And that's rare. And I have a feeling the iPhone 6 is going to be the same way for me. I can just, I'm itching to touch it, to feel it. And yep, these are electronic devices. I don't usually feel that way about, you know, a piece of plastic and some glass. But I don't know. Apple just gets it right when it comes to that. They... I don't know if it's Johnny Ive. I don't know if it's the team. I don't know. But I know they don't do research the way that some other companies do. Hey, let's ask a whole bunch of people what they want and give it to them. Apple doesn't do that. They make what they think people are going to want. And quite honestly, they're more right than they're wrong. Some of the tech specs, I know there's a lot of people who don't care about the tech specs. You know, it's, yeah, I don't care. Just let me play with it and let me hold it. But there's others that want to know the details. So on the iPhone 6, it's a 1334 by 750, which is 326 PPI. That's the screen. That's pixels per inch, correct? PPI, yes.
Yes.
So 326 pixels per inch on the iPhone 6. The iPhone 6 Plus, which is the 5.5-inch display, 1920 by 1080, 1080, which is 401 pixels per inch. Wow, that's going to be a sharp-looking phone. I mean, that's going to look good.
But it's not just that it's going to look good. It's the quality of the display is better. I mean, you know, and the thing that I like that Apple has always done, and there are a few companies out there, you know, back in the days in pro audio, the same. There are a handful of companies that don't look at what the competition does as much as they focus on making the best possible product. Whether it exists or it doesn't exist is not the point. How do you make the best possible product that you can, and then combine both value and experience, user experience, all together? And that's what Apple does. They're just brilliant in this regard. Not everybody's going to love it. But in terms of the specs, if you look at the competition and you look at this iPhone 6 or the Plus, it doesn't make any difference, because at the end of the day, the components are better. It's a proprietary chipset. You're dealing with a user experience with the iOS, which is the biggest advantage. I mean, there's nothing even close.
Well, there's a marriage between the iOS, the operating system, and the hardware. And yeah. Apple just knows that from 30 years with the Mac. And before that, less so with the Apple II, but they didn't make that an operating system. But they've got 30 years of experience of software, hardware integration for a consumer level customer. Nobody else has that I can think of off the top of my head. Not to the extent that Apple does. I mean, there's some, like, you know, Kodak made some great cameras. They made the hardware and the software, but not to the level that Apple does things.
No, not in this way.
No.
Not in a way that is immediately something that's recognized. And I, of course, say, you know, creative people. And there's a way of thinking that goes along with this that is definitely one that is less linear, if you will.
Yeah.
You know, if I were somebody who was working solely in terms of numbers and spreadsheets, this would drive me nuts.
Oh, me too.
On the other hand, the combination of having creative tools, engineering tools from the audio side, personal information, and be able to have those, all of those things work together totally seamlessly. Just emailing everything, it all comes together, and it's so much cooler. It's so much easier because it's intuitive, and it's always been intuitive, as you mentioned. What Apple has done over the years is to be consistent and true to what they do best, even through innovations.
Yep.
Same with, you know, with the watch. All of these things are along the same vein. And that's the cool thing. The cool thing is that you don't have to pick up a manual. You never have to go through, you know, if anything, I know, I can't even begin to tell you how many people, they just go into the Apple store, they'll take the class, or they'll meet with an ACN, they'll find an Apple consultant someplace, or let their kids show them.
Yep.
And I promise you, the kids aren't reading a manual.
No, it's experience. Absolutely. Yeah. The CPU in the new iPhone is the new A8 chip. It's 25% faster than the A7 in the iPhone 5 and 5S's. And the GPU, the graphical aspects of the phone, 50% performance boost over the 5S, which is very, very important as far as, you know, how fast things happen on the screen. If you're waiting around for something to happen, it really distracts from what you're trying to do. And, of course, you can pre-order the iPhone this Friday, September 12th, which I will be doing. And I have to ask you, Daniel, are you pre-ordering the new iPhone 6? And if so, which size and what specs and what color? Because, I mean, you've got some choices here. It's not just Apple has 4 iPhones now. And that's not including the different variations in size and color for each one. I mean, it's well over 150 at this point. So which iPhone 6 are you going to get, or are you going to hold off?
Here's where I am with this. I'm, based on my carrier's contract, I will wait at this point because I'm not eligible, and to pay full tilt is not something I'm going to do unless Apple PR would like to help me out a little, which I would be very grateful for. Given the choice, it would be the Plus for several reasons. One is the fact that it's not enormous. It's not a tablet, you know, trying to have phone functionality. And I like the Plus because of the way that the landscape mode works.
Yeah, it's more like an iPad now.
I like the fact that it has a larger battery. And I love the idea of the video. And I think if you shoot a lot of video, having the Plus will give you an advantage of stability.
It looks, impressive. Here are the battery performance, because it's probably the biggest criticism the iPhone gets, and not just from the online tech people who are always critical on anything, but from everyday users. I know a lot of people who won't buy an iPhone because it doesn't get the battery performance that they need. So
if you set it up right, you can do it.
Yeah, but it's better. Yeah, but they shouldn't have to. They shouldn't have to turn off Bluetooth and Wi-Fi and all that just to use their phone to get throughout the day. Yeah. So Apple's, and you know, here's the thing. Apple, when they give you numbers, those are usually real world numbers. They're not padding them.
Yeah,
they're
if
not
anything,
trying to
you
make
you do a little better than they tell you, so that you're actually happier than. And I respect that.
Audio playback on the iPhone 6 is 50 hours. On the 6 Plus is 80 hours. So that iPhone 6 Plus has a much larger, much higher capacity battery than the iPhone 5S or the 6 by far. Video playback, 11 hours on the 6. It was only 10 on the 5S, but if you're watching 10 straight hours of video on your iPhone, you need to set it down for a while and charge it and go do something else. But you can get 14 hours on the 6 Plus. Wi-Fi browsing, 11, 12 hours. LTE browsing, about an hour less, although it's the same for the iPhone 6 Plus. So I guess that one doesn't care if you're on Wi-Fi or LTE. Mm-hmm. 3G talk, kind of an important thing. 14 hours on the 6, which is 4 hours more than the 5S, and 24 hours on the iPhone 6 Plus. That's huge. That's a big number. I don't care if you're a geek or not. That's a big number. And standby, 10 hours for the iPhone 6, which is the same as the 5S, but the iPhone 6 Plus, 16 hours. So you can have it in standby for an extra 6 hours before you have to worry about charging it. Those are all big numbers, and of course, it's all dependent on what you're doing on the phone. If you're in an area where it's roaming a lot, your battery's going to go down. If you've got Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, everything turned on, it's going to be a problem too. But, you know, I think these are probably real-world numbers, and from that perspective, honestly, Daniel, I'm going with an iPhone 6 Plus. I'm going to pre-order. See, I'm in a unique position because anytime I get a new device, like a new iPad or an iPhone, the one that I'm currently using goes to my wife. She's not so much into I have to have the latest and greatest. Mm-hmm. And so she's going to get my 5S, which is a huge improvement over her 4S. I mean, she's going to be much happier with this phone. I'm going to go with the iPhone 6 Plus. But where the advantage is, we're a year apart in our contract. And we got a family plan. So her phone is up for upgradability. And it doesn't matter what the phone number is in the phone. So I actually will upgrade her contract, which is a family contract, this year. So I'll get the iPhone 6 Plus. Mm-hmm. There you go. And then next year, if we want to do it again, then my phone will technically be up for renewal. So I'm just saying, if you're on a family plan, try to stagger them. It helps with the yearly release of iPhone.
Sure. Yeah.
The camera is now an 8-megapixel camera. It has a 5-element lens, and it has sensors, the same ones that you'll find in a DSLR, which, you know, I got to be honest with you. Other than listening to podcast, music, phone, and probably GPS on my phone, taking pictures is the number one thing. I think it's the one killer feature when people talk about how the iPhone changed everything. And I've said this for years. I think it's the camera. The quality of pictures that you get from an iPhone, it completely destroyed the digital camera market. It just killed it.
You know, you're right. And I'll tell you, and camcorders, that was a point that was made at the presentation.
Yeah, who uses a camcorder anymore? Nobody.
But there are two things about this that to me have to be clarified in terms of where the competition lies. One is, speaking as someone who reviews a lot of DSLRs, mm-hmm. and I've seen a lot of the differences between the full-size ones, people that are comparing the megapixel mapping of another brand to Apple's are not comparing, if you'll pardon the pun, apples to apples. The type of sensor and the quality of the sensor make a huge difference. I've seen tons of cameras that claim to have massive, you know,
megapixel
capacity. The megapixel is off the charts, and the image quality is terrible.
Yep.
But the quality of the sensor and the type of sensor that are involved and incorporated into Apple's phones are so superior, far superior, that you, again, you cannot look at the specifications. Specs are not telling the true story. And I think once people have these things and they begin to shoot pictures, they really take some pictures, you'll see the difference. The second piece of this puzzle is the fact that they've added the 240 frame per second in addition to the 120. And
In slow motion.
Yeah, for slow motion video. And for anyone, just if you have kids, both for fun, you know, family movies, you know, shooting basketball hoops, you know, shooting hoops in the driveway, whatever. Or if you're trying to, if your son plays Little League or daughter plays Little League and you want to look at their swing and you can shoot at that level and show a coach or show a trainer and figure out what's going wrong, 240 is 240 frames per second is fantastic. Those are the things that you really have fun doing, but they look incredibly cool at the same time. You can't do that with a regular camcorder. And, you know, most of them in any case. And I think it really adds to the coolness factor in just the coolest way. It's just so huge. The panoramic image is now a much, much more involved process that no one will ever know about, because when you see the results,
yeah,
it's just going to blow you away.
Yep.
I mean, I was out in San Francisco, not too far from Cupertino, and took a shot in Pacifica, a panoramic with the 5S, just with the 5S, and printed, it looked just stunning. I mean, it was just gorgeous with the rocks and the jetty coming out and the sunset and the whole thing. Some of the sample photos that I've seen so far, which some of which are from that area, just blow this out of water.
Pretty awesome.
It's just so incredibly cool. And I mean, of course, they're using the best images, but I really believe, and I've seen the fact that, as you mentioned, when they put out their numbers and they're really real life examples, you know, they want you to have better results than what they're showing you as the samples, even for the best stuff. And I mean, I can tell you, I've done product photos just with my iPhone with the 5S.
Hey, did you know there's a trick with the, you know, have you ever been shooting video with your 5S and thought, man, I wish I had this in camera mode because I want to capture that picture?
Oh, yeah, you hit the still.
Yeah, you hit the still button. And for those who don't know what it is, it's the big white button right below the record button. And it takes a picture. It's an awesome feature. Most people don't know about it. I learned about it only about 6 months ago, and I was like, holy crap, why didn't someone tell me?
it's a great feature. I learned about it when one of their competitors tried to do an ad saying, you can't do this with an iPhone, and you can take stills while you're doing video. We're like,
So here a little bit different configurations for the iPhone 6. The base model is now a 16 gig, and then it goes to 32 gig, and then 128 gig. So I'm kind of the middle of the road guy, Daniel. I usually get the middle road up to this point, iPhone. I'm going to get more iPhone this time.
I think it makes sense. I think anytime you increase the pixel map size and the video file size, and I think ultimately people have more apps on their phone now than they ever did in the 3 or the 4. I mean, I'm certainly one of the people who has pages of folders between stuff I test and stuff that I use, you know, routinely. But I talk to people all the time that tell me they have more apps now than they ever did. So having more storage is a good thing. I certainly encourage people when they ask me to get either the middle or the largest size, depending on how much they're going to use video and audio.
I've run out of space in my iPhone recording video before. I mm-hmm. literally had to go in there and start deleting stuff just to make some more space so I can record more video. And that's, nothing is more annoying than that. Well, actually, there's a lot of things more annoying than that, but that's very annoying to me. Pricing for the iPhone 6 is $199, $299, and $399. Of course, that's on a 2-year contract. And for the 6 Plus, it's $100 more per model, so $299, $399, and $499. I got to be honest, I thought the 6 Plus was going to cost more. I thought it was going to be $150 to $200 more per model. So I was very pleased to see that, nope, not at all. No. I am kind of curious about this reachability mode, hitting the button twice, the home button brings up a reachability mode, so you can use the phone with one hand. They have got to stop doing this with the middle button. You know, because I get used to it one way, and then they change it, and now they're changing it again. I don't like
when
that.
They changed iOS 7 so that the mail deletion was only swipe left, not swipe right. I know it messed up a ton of people.
Mm-hmm.
But now it's I don't even think about it.
Yeah, no, but I'm talking about pushing the home button.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. I think it's a feature. It's one of those because we can things.
Yeah.
And I'm sure there will be people that love it and will say they love it and they couldn't live without it. And I'm sure there will be people that will never use it.
Well, I'm just hoping that the reachability is I can turn that off. So
the double
button will still bring up the, you know, being able to swipe up to quit an app.
I'd be very surprised if it's not there. The ability to turn it off.
Big thing. The new iOS drops September 17th. And of course, that's a free update. So if you've got an iPhone 5S and you're not looking at one of these new iPhone 6s, you get iOS 7. What? That's as we record this today, 7 days from as we record it.
Yeah.
So that's, boy, if you thought it was hard to download the Apple live stream, wait till everyone's trying to download the new iOS.
I think they're prepared for it,
I hope so.
And I'll tell you something else. And this is always the case with a full Gold Master upgrade of the iOS. But I will say, every time you get a .0, you know, Gold Master update to the iOS, it really does feel like whatever device you're using is brand new again.
Yep.
To the point where I actually, every time there's an update, I have a thing that I do for myself just because I think it's fun to do. Every time there's an iOS update, I change my wallpaper and I rearrange stuff. You know, and I really, because it feels...
It's a new phone.
It feels like a new phone. It really does.
Yeah.
With a 5S or a 5, using iOS 8 is going to be...
Night and day.
It's going to be light years ahead of what you think it is. And it, for anybody who hasn't gone on and looked at the videos that Apple has posted and looked at Apple's presentation of what iOS 8 is, they do a good job of showing you the balance between the excitement for so many new features and at the same time feeling like it's very consistent with what you know. And it is consistent with what you know. Anybody who's already used any of the beta will tell you that the user experience is very familiar. It's not, you're not suddenly going to be like, oh man, what am I going to do? It's
a refinement.
Feels like what you know.
Yeah.
But the way that everything works is so much cooler. It's just so much, it's so much more fluid, and it allows you to do some of the things that people really want to be able to do just by integrating all the different things that you do most.
We've got a lot of stuff to cover, and we're getting long in the tooth. So the least sexy thing I think that Apple showed yesterday was Apple Pay. It uses an NFC chip in the iPhone 6 and the Apple Watch. And it allows you to take a picture of your credit card and then use that credit card as on your phone. You simply put your phone up there next to a little device at your local merchant once they support it. And there's going to be 220,000 merchants that support it at launch, which is like a week away. I think this is kind of cool, but I think this is one of those things that some people are going to be a little bit hesitant about, Daniel, because a week ago, everybody was talking about this iPhone hack or this iCloud hack that all these inappropriate pictures of celebrities got leaked online. And I think it made some people kind of nervous about putting a lot of stuff online. And a week later, Apple's talking about Apple Pay. I don't know if there's going to be any repercussions as far as people adopting this quickly. I'm personally kind of excited about this. I think it looks really cool. I'm a little disappointed that it's not going to work on the 5 or 5S, but that's because it doesn't have a near-field communication or NFC chip in those devices. So, I don't know.
But you can use a watch with a 5S.
With a 5S, and it does have one. Yeah, but who knows when the watch is going to come out.
Yeah. So here's my vibe on this is kind of simple. I think the reason why it probably seems to be the least sexy of the things is because it's something that people are apprehensive about.
Right.
People are going to be scared about this. I think part of this overblown exposure of the cloud photos being leaked was probably fostered more by MSNBC, obviously, than it was...
Or TMZ.
You know,
or
any of those things. You know, that. But I promise you that any of Apple competitors were behind, you know, pushing that aspect of it.
Sure.
You know, any device can be hacked. Any any storage system or server system, you know, if people want it, they're going to get it. If if you don't want your stuff seen, you don't use the cloud. End of story. In this case, I believe that there will be people that will say, there's no way I'm doing this. Like, there are people that say this about any new technology. No, I'm cool with how I do it. That's fine. You don't have to use this. Mm-hmm. On the other hand, particularly in urban areas where people have less patience.
Yes.
You know, where they're like,
that's going to be cool.
You know, the Starbucks line, on Market Street or anywhere, or in anywhere in New York, you know, a New York minute becomes a millisecond. So if the difference between here's my card and you're handing it over, particularly when people worry about people having pirating swipers under a counter, you know, right. you hand your card over to somebody and they swipe the card and you don't know, particularly in a restaurant where you're giving someone your card
and they leave.
Walk away.
Right, yeah.
You know,
that's where it usually happens.
Yeah, I think, and I'm seeing this more where people actually have a reader or a waiter or waitress will come over with a swipe now. And you don't see it everywhere yet. I think it's coming, though. I think it's easier. I don't think it's a problem. I just think that it does make it much easier for people to forget that it's money that's being transmitted.
Yeah.
It's much easier to forget that you're spending when it's wave the wand and go.
You know? You're right there. You know, when I was doing the live Twitter stream during the event at Mac Sales on Twitter, by the way, I said, I wonder if Tim Cook's going to do one more thing. And within 10 seconds of me saying that, right on the screen, one more thing. And of course it was the Apple Watch.
What a nice homage to Steve, too.
Oh, yeah, it really was.
And he didn't oversell it.
No.
He just said, and there's one more thing, and people went nuts. I thought that was so cool.
What is your thoughts on this Apple Watch? It's a total integration with the iPhone iOS ecosystem. Although from what, because they didn't really say this during the keynote, or if they did, I didn't catch it. This is not iOS running on a watch. This is a whole new operating system. They didn't want to strip down iOS to run on a wristwatch. This is a whole new thing. Right. But it completely integrates with your iPhone. It comes in two sizes, large and small. It's controlled by a digital crown, or I just call it the winding dial on a regular watch. You can actually go back to your home screen by pressing down on the digital crown. But when I'm looking at it, in some of the pictures, it kind of reminds me of the first generation iPod or iPhone.
Yeah, I thought that too. And I think that's probably with some intent.
Yeah.
People who know me know I'm a watch guy. I'm not big into jewelry. I'm, you know, music business people, whatever. I like a nice watch. And for all of the companies that have all these crazy, you know, mobile device, you know,
Samsung things,
everybody. Yeah. Yep. I waited because I knew that Apple, again, wouldn't reinvent, you know, they basically took an existing thing and made it better, and that's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
What I like about this particular product is the fact that they're very upfront about what it does. For all the people that are going to complain about what it doesn't do, I really don't care. I don't worry about the things that can't happen or that don't happen that aren't there. You maximize what you get. In this case, as a first generation to a brand new product, I think they hit it out of the park. And I'm a watch guy. I love the fact that it's totally beyond something that can be personalized. It's first and foremost, is it a watch or is it an iOS device? Well, not iOS. Is it a computer device?
Right.
It's both. And it's seamless because if you want to use it just as a watch, it's competitively priced with a lot of the watches out there. If you look at some of the brands that you see on TV or anywhere in any retail store, you know, most watches that are in stock, if it's not a specialty dealer or if you're not a Cartier, which is, of course, you know, what it is, the watches are going to be from $100 to $1,000, let's say. This comes in on the low side with
the entry-level model does.
Yeah, but I mean, with far more. Think about the third-party options. Apple is one of the best companies at encouraging and fostering third-party developers and companies that make cases. And
right, I mean, what this watch can and can't do, we don't even know yet because you know. I mean, think about the iPhone. When it first came out, there was no third-party apps on there. And now think about what you use your iPhone for. most people use it for so many things that it was never designed originally to do.
Absolutely.
And Apple supported and encouraged and really promotes third-party development. And they're doing the same thing with the Apple Watch. I keep wanting to call it the iWatch. I think,
yeah, I know.
Everybody I don't know does. Why, but it's the Apple Watch.
Think about if they've, and I don't know that they have or they haven't, I'm assuming they have, allowed the case manufacturers to create their own bands for this thing.
Oh, that's going to come.
Think of the licensing opportunities for everything from superheroes to sports teams to all that. Think about all that.
Yep.
Think about the idea of what's the company? Liquipel?
Yep.
You know, people complain about, oh, it's not waterproof. Whatever. If you have a fine watch.
It's not waterproof. Anything, water resistant.
Yeah. If that. I don't think that's the purpose. I love the fact that it's in two sizes, and I firmly believe that women will be ordering the larger one. And I think that it gives, it fills a space that people didn't think they know they needed, because it makes it so seamless. I'm waiting for the first third-party thing to be a lie detector app for this thing. You know what I mean?
I'm waiting for the dating app for it.
Yeah. Think about...
Not personally waiting for it. I'm happily married.
I mean, think about, talk about speed dating.
Yeah, that's awesome. I mean,
all these things, you know,
for no pun intended. That are
into that, right. Think about what's possible where you have this core product and what it does. First of all, it dwarfs everything else out there. Again, if you look at the specs and people say, oh, I have this one, or this watch does this, that's not the point. The user experience, the level of involvement, mm-hmm. the fact that you can have this thing on your wrist. For example, I don't envision myself constantly sitting and staring at this watch the way I would with a phone if I'm sitting waiting for a flight.
I agree with you there.
When you're sitting waiting for a flight, you're going to sit and you're going to, you know, you tweet and complain about the airline and, you know, whatever. With this watch, there's more utility to it. So if somebody that I'm traveling with is down at the end of the hall and I can send them this little message of a scribble, you know, that's an exclamation point, you know, get down here or whatever, man, that coolness factor is just off the charts on that. You know, I think it's really exciting. And I think this is Gen 1. I definitely think there will be more to it.
So you're definitely buying one.
Oh, no doubt.
See, I'm publicly on record on this podcast of saying I wasn't really excited about an Apple Watch or an iWatch at the time, as I think I was calling it, because I'm not I stopped wearing a watch probably a decade ago, and I don't know if I really want to get back into it. I think for me, the proof is going to be in the pudding. I have to see one, I have to touch one, I have to put it on, and I got to decide at that point and what the software available is. One thing that I was really excited about was the haptic touch, so that it kind of pushes you in a certain direction. If you're using GPS, it kind of feels like this on to take a right and this to take a left. That would be awesome. I think that's a very cool feature, one that I didn't even think about. But I don't know. I'm still on the fence, and I'm glad it's not coming out this or next week. I don't think that the Apple Watch, see, I almost went it again. I don't think the Apple Watch is going to come out until probably, they said early next year. That gives them 5 or 6 months, right, into 2015. They could come out at, you know, right before the mid part of the year and say, oh, it's still early. I don't think this is coming up before May or June of next year. So I've got a lot of time to contemplate whether I want this or not. Unlike the iPad, I knew I wanted the iPad immediately. People said, oh, it's just a bigger iPhone. I was like, yeah, that's the point. It's a bigger iPhone. That's exactly what I want. I don't know. I'm on the fence, man. I really am. But I like that, unlike the competition, Apple's giving you a whole litany of different choices. I mean, there's so many. And like you said, third-party support for this, of covers for it, of different wristbands. I mean, it's just going to be, it's a brand new industry at that point.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And I'm on the fence, though. Convince me why I need this.
I believe that the reach of this in the what they call the Apple ecosystem, I believe that the reach from this has yet to be realized, that kids are going to love it because they'll be able to communicate even cryptically if they wish. I think business travelers are going to be all over this thing. From a professional level, the level of opportunity here is massive. I think for everyday users that live at the crossroads of America, they will also find that for the littlest things, you know, instead of having to worry about, you know, getting a text while you're driving or texting while you're driving, if you get an emoticon, and I'm sure that will certainly see some advances.
Oh, yes.
You know, pick up some milk on your way home. You know, not reading a text message, and it raises other questions. But I think the opportunities are many in a huge variety of uses.
Think about being a cook. You got a recipe. It's on your wrist. You don't have to stop to look at your iPad or your computer. You're standing at the stove. I look at my watch. Boom, there it is. Yeah. I mean, just that alone is kind of intriguing to me. Like, And I didn't even think of that until just now.
The one question that I had that I didn't get from the keynote, and admittedly have not read all the specs on the watch, is if the microphone integration, or there's microphone speaker integration, or if it just controls the phone. Did you happen to see that?
I didn't see that. I am kind of curious about that. Is this a true Dick Tracy watch?
Right.
That's absolutely. So it's an LED display. It's underneath sapphire. I was kind of expecting sapphire to make more of a splash at this event, to be honest with you. I was thinking the iPhone 6 was going to have a sapphire display.
No, I don't know how that would be possible.
Not yet.
Not yet. Well, if it's legitimately sapphire, you know, as a watch guy, sapphire crystal is, you know, it's what you look for in most cases. Of course, there are alternatives and there are options and all these different things that everybody thinks are great. I like a sapphire crystal on a watch. So to a watch guy, that makes perfect sense. On the phone, I believe that the aftermarket, you know, for screen replacement with all these local, you know, unauthorized repair centers.
But there cheap glass. It's
its own industry, though.
Yeah, but
so if you ask those guys to start replacing sapphire, they're going to have to charge a lot more.
Well, they're not going to be able. You wouldn't have to replace sapphire. I think that's kind of the point. It's not impossible, but it's near impossible to break a sapphire display.
Particularly in this, you're going to put all these people out of business. Nobody wants to do that.
No, definitely not. But you know, I worked in an Apple specialist. Basically an independent Apple store for 3.5 years. And we did iPhone warranty replacements. So I saw the level of abuse people put their iPhones through. I got to be honest with you, a sapphire, it's not necessarily the display. It sits over the LED. So technically it's just a cover, but it really is needed.
I don't think it's going to solve the problem.
It won't, but it will help a lot of people.
But I think it's more a scratch issue. I think if you're going to break one, in order for the display, for that to be actual sapphire and to have it not substantially increase the weight or the thickness, if you're going to break it, you're going to break it. I mean, people that are really shattering screens, they're dropping them onto concrete.
Yep.
They're running over them. They're whatever, you know, all kinds of things that happen. You know, I see that. I would love to see, certainly, I think it would be a great idea. It would be really cool if there were some third party that would come out with, you know, an upgrade to have the ultimate, you know, iPhone screen type thing. That would be cool too. But the other side of that is talking about the watch having this, I think is a wonderful feature. I love that the fact that the tap and touch distinction is there too.
Yeah, it can tell the difference between a light gesture and an actual push. That's pretty cool. You know, it's also reversible. So if you're right or left-handed, the Apple Watch will work for you. I think that was very, very important to do. Samsung didn't do that. And even their new phones from Samsung that with the curved glass thing on the side, well, that's great if you're right-handed, but what if you're left-handed? Well, not so much then. I saw an interview that Tim Cook and Johnny Ives did on ABC last night. And Johnny Ives said that he didn't take any of the credit himself. He put all the credit on the team. And he said, this is a team that's been together for 15 to 20 years, which is unheard of nowadays. And that this is something that they've been working on a very long time. And to be quite honest, from what I saw on screen yesterday, it really shows that they spent a lot of time thinking about and how they're going to implement this and what it is. I don't get the feeling that Apple got into a watch because anybody else was doing it. I think this was in development long before Samsung even thought about making a wristwatch. And I think it really shows from what I saw yesterday. Do you agree?
Yeah, I think you're absolutely right.
Yeah.
I think all these companies that came out with their little digital watches did it after they either knew or had some reason to believe that Apple was going to do it, yeah. and they thought they were going to beat them to the market. And I didn't care.
Beating anybody to the market is never a guarantee of success. I mean, there was a lot of MP3 players out there. I'm looking at you, Rio, before the iPod came out. Speaking of which, and by the way, that's how you do a segment. You don't call out the segue. You don't call it out.
Right.
Speaking of which,
the big segue sign just went on instead of flashing.
The iPod Classic is gone. Mm-hmm. It is no longer listed on Apple's webpage. Were you surprised by this? Are you surprised that it lasted as long as it did? I don't know anybody who's buying an iPod Classic anymore.
No, I'm not surprised, but I get it. I mean, and certainly I would imagine they, you know, you sell off what you have and that's that. I mean, the iPods are great. Any of the iPods, I've
changed everything for Apple and us.
Oh yeah. I mean, you've heard me say this before. I've owned probably every product Apple has ever made at some point in my life, mm-hmm. literally from day one. And I've had all the iPods, and I went through hearing all the different chip amplifiers that they used and all these different ways of organizing and the way all these things have evolved. And, it was really cool and nostalgic and everything else, but it certainly made sense for them to move on from that.
iPhone is the best iPod ever made. And Apple has long been a believer in, if anyone's going to capitalize our market or cannibalize our market, it's going to be us. And, you know, I don't blame Apple for killing off the iPod Classic. It was time. Some people were surprised it was still around. But to me, I can't tell you how happy I was at the end of this event. U2 comes out, plays a song. It was a really good song too. And I actually tweeted at Mac Sales during the event, I want this song. And I was thinking, man, I wish I had had Audio Hijack Pro running, cause I could have captured this music, because number one, I'm a huge U2 fan. I've always liked them before they were even big. I've liked U2. They were kind of, for me, U2 was at the time the sound of my teenage years in the 80s. And they've kind of grown musically with me as I've grown up. As I'm in my 40s now, and I still love U2's music. So when they came out and played, I thought, that's really cool. And then they played a song called The Miracle of Joey Ramone, which I'm not going to get into that. But if you don't know who Joey Ramone was, then it doesn't matter.
Do some homework. It was a brilliant choice to have U2. And the people that didn't get it don't understand the scope of who they are and what they do.
And then, to make this kind of ham-fisted, it was a little cheesy, to be honest, this interaction between Tim Cook and Bono about this album, and for Apple to give it away, for U2 to give it away. Look, U2 got paid for this album. Apple gave them, I would imagine, a substantial amount of money for this album. The Songs of the Innocent is the name of the album.
It was a variety show skit moment.
Yeah, it absolutely was, but... And they took a long time to get there too, but for them to release a free album from U2 that day, right after the event, I thought that was huge, and I downloaded it immediately. It was absolutely a gift, and it was a classy move on both their parts. And I it's a good album. I really like it. I've heard every song so far, and there's maybe two songs I didn't care much for, but the rest of it was really good stuff.
Yeah, it was a brilliant move.
Yep.
It's for people who don't know, Bono and Edge are very invested in technology and are very invested in and really innovate a lot of products and services you may not realize. They are absolutely brilliant in terms of being forward thinking in terms of technology. Every aspect of their show, and it has always been. And I've been around them and their crew for many years. The international appeal, even if you're not into that style of music, you know who Bono is. Yep. You know what a philanthropic guy he is. You know what he's done for world hunger and world peace and every, you know, conceivable opportunity to do good things for the right reasons. He represents a lot of the good karma that Apple tries to portray in their marketing.
Yeah. It was a cool moment, no question.
Yeah, it was really quite brilliant. I think a very smart choice. It certainly is a win-win for band and company. And it also takes you back to their last involvement.
Yeah.
You know, the video alone, taking it back to that style of iPod ad, and it's a nod. It's not blatant, but it's cool. And again, man, having that coolness factor, I just think it's fantastic. And it was great to hear the song, particularly the choice of song. And I downloaded it right away. You know, and anybody who's got, if you haven't downloaded the new iTunes, which was released, you know, to get to it, if you've downloaded it and you can't find it, a lot of people have been saying you go into, there are two places to find your purchased music. You have to go to the one that's in the corner. And then you can download it, no problem. And if you've already put it onto your iPhone or iPad, it's a good listen. It's an easy listen. It sounds like U2. I actually like it better than No Line on the Horizon.
Oh, I do too. No question.
The energy is there, and that's what they're brilliant at.
It feels like U2 classic experience. U2. Yeah. It feels like I've heard these songs before. That's how good they are.
That's a very good way to put it. Yeah. I agree with you.
His name is Daniel East. He is the CEO and president of the ECI Group. Daniel, where can people learn more about you online?
You can go to the company website, which is ecigroup.net, or you can visit my website, which is danieleast.net.
I'm writing
certainly
it down.
you can find me on Facebook, Daniel East Music. You can follow me on Twitter, which is @EastD, EASTD.
Cool. I want to thank you a lot for coming on. You know, it was a long day, and I couldn't think of anybody more appropriate than you to come on right after this event and talk about this event. It was good catching up with you. I'm glad that things are going so well. I don't know how you can do all of the things you do and still live in the same 24-hour, 7 days a week that I live in, but hats off to you, and thanks for taking the time to come on OWC Radio this week.
Oh, thanks. It's always so much fun talking to you, and I really appreciate you having me on.
We will be back in 1 week, and while you're at it, while you're waiting, make sure you go up to MacSales.com and upgrade that hard drive in your Mac. You know the one that's getting kind of slow? You're getting those beach balls? You need an SSD. MacSales.com, Otherworld Computing, has the solution you're looking for, so make sure you go to MacSales.com. Follow us on Twitter @MacSales, and we're on Facebook. Just look for Otherworld Computing, and you'll find us there too. See you in 1 week.